When I was to that age, when I went to vacation Bible school and I sat through children's sermons, my parents gave me my first Bible. Everybody has memories of their first Bible. I remember that mine was about this thick. It was kind of square. It was really colorful because there were lots of pictures. And it had a lot of the most well-known stories. So it went from creation, and then it talked about the nativity. It talked about the crucifixion, and then even Saul's conversion to Paul. We'd read my children's Bible together, and that's when I first heard of Moses. Everybody also has their favorite Bible stories. Some like the shepherds in the field the best, with angels announcing a birth. Some prefer Noah and his ark. It's easy for me to say that Moses is one of my favorites. I mean, it's a really cool story, right? Think about it. A baby hidden from a mean ruler, growing up someplace that's not his true home, before accepting who he really is. Sounds familiar? It should, because it's not just the story of Moses. Moses is considered to be a symbolic placeholder for Christ. This originated in medieval times when it was common to use other biblical personages to represent Christ: Moses, Jonah, and Adam, to name a few. Because most Christians consider the representation of any member of the Trinity to be sacrilege, breaking the commandment about idolatry. So just kind of keep that in the back of your head. Moses is like Christ. So picture a young man who's feeling a little bit lost. He doesn't know it yet, can't quite put it into words, but he has yet to answer God's call. So he goes to the wilderness and he endures this harshness. Since we're talking about medieval symbology, a side note. The wilderness in medieval times was a literal representation of hell. So when you entered into the wilderness, it was literally entering a journey into hell. And literature still uses this today. But our hero makes it through the wilderness, and he becomes a shepherd. He answers God's call, struggles with the powerful, while leading God's people to freedom. Still sound familiar? But before our hero fully accepts his call, he grapples with God. Jesus struggled in a garden, Gethsemane, but all that Moses struggled with was a burning bush. Before I talk about the burning bush scene that we just watched from Prince of Egypt, I would like to say that the makers of this film met with religious leaders from three different sects who all share the common story of Moses because the filmmakers wanted to respectfully ensure accuracy. Members of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity met with the creators to discuss how to most appropriately depict this tale that is a shared story of many cultures and peoples. And the creators took their suggestions to heart. I know we've all seen lots of movies try to take on biblical stories, but don't let the animation in this one fool you. It is a kid's movie, but really, it's family-oriented, with a lot of different ideas to draw from, even for adults. From the song Heaven's Eyes, which emphasizes that every individual has a purpose and a calling, but that she or he must look at their choices and their life through the eyes of God, to the personal struggles of Moses' self-discovery and standing up against what's wrong, even when sometimes you're standing up against someone you love. One depiction that the filmmaker struggled with was the voice of God in the burning bush scene. The filmmakers put the voice of God into the hands of Lon Bender, who was in charge of the sound team, and the film's composer, Hans Zimmer. Bender said about the film, "The challenge with that voice was to try to evolve it into something that had not been heard before. We did a lot of research into the voices that had been used for past Hollywood movies as well as for radio shows, and we were trying to create something that had never previously been heard, not only from a casting standpoint, but from a voice manipulation standpoint as well. The team played with several different ideas before coming up with a solution. They would use the voice of the actor who played Moses in the film, Val Kilmer. By making God's voice and Moses' voice the same, the film team revolutionized the idea of how God speaks to us. Sometimes God's voice is the voice we hear in our heads every day. So this message is one that we UCCers should be familiar with. Don't put a period where God put a comma, because God is still speaking. Maybe you've struggled waiting for that booming voice from the heavens to answer your prayers, but God speaks to us every day. Sometimes the voice is so small and familiar that you didn't know it was speaking to you. But the voice is filled with an indescribable, incredible might. Who are you, you may ask, because the voice may sound just like yourself. I am who I am, the voice responds. What an enigmatic answer, especially when God is speaking, asking, no, telling you what you need to do. It's kind of like when you would want to do something and your parent would say no, and you'd whine and say, but why? And they would answer that infamous, because I said so. I am who I am is God's way of saying, I don't necessarily need to give you an answer because the message I'm trying to give you is bigger than that. And this is where Moses and Christ differ. Whereas Christ says, well, not my will, but thine be done, Moses pushes back. But that's why Christ is Christ and Moses is Moses, right? Moses says, yeah, but why me? Now, in the film, God gets angry, perhaps justifiably so, basically saying, you wanted to know who I am to choose you? I made the sky and the stars. I'm the creator of all things, including yourself. That's all the answer you need. Now go. But then something remarkable happens. God realizes that Moses, like many people, lashed out because he was scared. Calling Moses his child, God reminds Moses that he will always be with him. But the phrase, I am who I am, is also much more than an answer from God to brush Moses off. I am who I am is, in a very literal sense, God telling Moses his name. Even in the movie, he doesn't reveal whom he is until later, after Moses pushes back. God answers Moses' question not by saying, my name is God the Father, I'm creator of heaven and earth, but rather merely that he is. He exists, period. God is not only omniscient, he's omnipresent. God is in all things, even in ourselves. The burning bush speaks to us. God reminds us in that mighty, small voice that we are his children and he will never abandon us. We are his chosen people, but there's a catch. We have to listen. If we listen, we'll realize that God is still speaking. But even more than that, God comes in many different forms. Sometimes his voice is within us, telling us to stand up for what is right, even when we are scared or question why he would send us. When God speaks to us, we should respond with words like the hymn. Here I am, Lord. I've heard you calling in the night. I will go. If you need me, I will hold your people in my heart. We all know how the story ends. Moses returns to Egypt after striking Egypt with plagues to prove the might of God to Pharaoh's hardened heart. He frees the Hebrews. We're reminded that it only takes one to change the world. It only takes one to demand justice. And it began at the burning bush. The incident with God in the burning bush is full of messages for us. Don't put a period where God put a comma, because he's still speaking. He comes in many forms, and in spite of any fears we may have, we should follow. I encourage you to find a place that's special to you. Take off your shoes, for where you walk is holy ground. And if you hear a call and are afraid to answer, remember that you are a child of the great I Am. He's always with you. And you watch that bush burn, and you keep listening for that mighty small voice. Amen.